grace. God, who saves our world. Amen. A doctor appointment. Burn in that way. To get my foot checked. Got office, and I'm waiting in the patient room. And as I'm waiting, I decided I'm going to scroll through Facebook. I often don't go on political rants and all this other stuff, and I have a fair number of people. Facebook, I upon a friend's post. This friend has been a friend. We grew up together in the same little Lutheran church in Wisconsin. We attended gatherings together. But her post irked me because it said, God gives his strongest battles to his strongest soldiers. Huh. So God hurt right now. So I decided I and refute it. Argue back that I understand is wrong with this. And as I went to pull up my phone and start typing, of course. So I got up and went and decided, writing Stephanie a very long message, I would then later say, here's my sermon from Sunday. It's a response to your post. I don't think she'll read it. You know, I thought about it at the doctor's office, and I was thinking about it in the week after. This post on Facebook isn't a solo post. There are tons of things out there in the deep of this Facebook with platitudes about God. Things that we have no reference to in Scripture. But still people decide to say. God never gives you more than you can. Again, my foot was really hurting. God wanted another angel in heaven. When one door closes in your life, God will open up another. Or perhaps God has a plan for your life. These sayings about God often do the one thing that I dread, is that they put God in this place over here, and we're in this place here. Somehow God is out there, unreachable, and only steps in our lives at certain times and in certain places. God could care less about my day to day. God could care less about my foot. These sayings kept filling my mind when I thought about the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling all around the region. They're seeing people. They're healing people. They're confronting people. People are confronting them. And they've gone to so many places. They've done so many things. He decides it's time for a pop quiz. First question. Who do people say that I am?
I imagine the disciples laugh a little bit. Before saying,
collectively, oh.
John the Baptist, Elijah, another prophet.
But who do you say? This one's a little bit
hard. I imagine the disciples are pushing Peter forward.
You answer a lot of questions. That's on you, Jesus.
You ask Peter. Peter speaks up. Perhaps Timothy.
The Messiah. So Jesus says, okay. Suffering,
rejection, and death.
This
doesn't go well with Peter. The men that people get back to the disciples are like, Dave, what do we call? Perhaps Peter was thinking about Jesus
becoming a new king.
Perhaps Peter was thinking about Jesus instituting
a new political.
Messiahs, according to Peter's understanding, are not
to suffer, are not to. Are not
to die. Those things
human things. Those things are not divine. So then I thought,
okay.
Fair point, Jesus.
But who would you say that
Jesus is?
It's not an easy question to answer. In fact,
Jesus asked me himself
to
answer.
So I decided to go
do one thing very different. Literally, upon a video, Jesus is
our Lord and Savior, a conversation with my mom. I then
called my mom. Sure.
So I decided I was going to start
looking at those links.
I was going to go
into the Google. Like so many people do, and discover what exactly
and who exactly Jesus is.
So I just
learned a lot of things about Jesus I never knew. Jesus is a master
planner.
You want that big house?
Jesus is going to help
you.
Jesus
is sitting on the
throne in heaven,
watching.
Perhaps waving, perhaps wondering, occasionally smiling. Sicknesses, as long as you give to
a certain cause or a certain amount of your income to whatever the ministry might be, one of them raises from 10 to 37%.
Hallelujah! Go for it, Brian!
I love that
story. There are other websites. Jesus works in our success.
God is
most visible when things are going well.
Job,
a healthy
family,
etc., are all
signs
Jesus'
love for us,
God's abundance, and God's blessing. I imagine this is
Peter, this is the Messiah Peter
was expecting.
Peter went to help for himself.
The
one who's all powerful and victorious over all things human, who steps in when things are getting rough and changes bad times into really good times. However, I would argue that this is not the Messiah.
God is
somehow out there and unreachable and unattainable. God willingly chose humans to become human.
God gives us the
promise of the Holy Spirit and says, I am with you until the end of the age. Jesus, the Messiah, decided to reveal the love of God not in displays of power or wealth or what even we consider to be successful.
God willingly
takes on suffering in order to experience human suffering. Our whole humanity, in fact, is not just about great times. They're about painful and difficult times. God joins
us in our suffering.
Our prayers tell us in the liturgy that our
searches and cries are God's own searches and cries. This is good news, because the gospel says
that Jesus tells his disciples that they too will also die, that they too will suffer, that there's going to
be hardship and hard times ahead. So I thought back
again on my first post,
the post I so vehemently didn't agree with, and so
instead of saying that God gives
strongest battles to his strongest soldiers. I wanted to offer an alternative. So, Steph, if you are listening to this sermon, you can just listen to this last 30-second chunk. God accompanies us in our battles,
in our suffering, in our pain.
God says, I am there.
God says, I love you. God does not leave.
God